Please be seated. We're going to let people come in and out so that they don't interrupt you during your argument. The next matter before the court is in re guardianship and conservatorship of Lyndhurst. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
May it please the court, my name is Wayne Jansen and I appear on behalf of the appellant, Janet K. Lyndhurst. We refer the court to the extensive briefs that were supplied with this particular matter. The issue is whether the decision conforms to the law, is supported by competent evidence, and is neither arbitrary, capricious, or unreasonable. We would argue that the decision does not meet this standard. The parties are both adult children of Dolores, so they have equal priority. The court must choose the best qualified of those willing to serve. Janet would argue that there is no competent evidence to support the choice of Joyce to serve. Comparison of the two nominees. Janet is very close relationship with her mother all of her life. She eventually moved to California but maintained daily contact. She came back to take care of Dolores on January 6, 2015 and provided 24/7 care in the home for the most part on her own. She finally broke after the pressure of 5 months of that kind of care. She was sick, she was preparing for bed bug treatment, and she was begging for help. Joyce, on the other hand, was a very distant relationship with Dolores for many years. Long-standing feud between them, at least 10 years. The will of Dolores in 2005 left Joyce out with only $100 and a pink flamingo. Joyce, text messages that are included in the record, complained of restraining orders, the possibility of restraining orders, and calls to the police if she even came close to her mother. Their relationship was not close at all. And then we get to the fact that Joyce took money from Dolores when she was incompetent, $2,000 for care in the home when she had not yet even given the care, and $1,000 for Joyce's attorney's fees before appointment. She was appointed as temporary guardian and conservator on January 7th, 2015. From that point forward, really provided no help in the home. She did provide utilities and groceries for the household. And when Janet broke down after the pressure of the 5 months of care, Joyce moved quickly. She snatched Dolores from the home without even notifying Janet and took her to an assisted living facility. And it's significant that it's an assisted living facility, not a 24/7 nursing facility.
It wasn't that really the crux of the issue, is that the two sisters could not agree on whether they should try to provide care at home versus getting some help in a facility. And your client wanted to keep mom at home, right? But
right.
Yet I heard you say she's begging for help because after 5 months, it's a lot of work.
Oh, yes. And the thing is, she wanted to keep her at home because that's what her mother wanted, was to be at home.
But was that realistic given the status of her mental, her Alzheimer's was coming on, right?
There's nothing in the record that shows that she wasn't adequately cared for at home. The doctors,
didn't she need 24/7 supervision?
And
I mean, wasn't there evidence that when she broke her wrist, once she was home, she was unwrapping, the cast or whatever it is they put on her wrist, that she really needed to have that constant supervision, didn't
right.
she?
She did need 24/7 care. And that's the thing. She was provided that 24/7 care. When she broke her wrist on the 26th of December, Joyce wasn't with her. No one was with her. She was home alone. And from that point forward, though, after Jessica Lang came in and took care of the situation, not Joyce, as revealed in the report of the court in its findings, but once that was done, the 24/7 care was required. That's what Janet provided. She came back on January 6th of 2015 and provided that care almost entirely by herself. On January 7th of 2015, Joyce was appointed as temporary guardian, and she took no action to bring anything to help Janet in that endeavor. She had access to the funds, but she never used those funds to provide assistance in the home. The doctors had recommended that the care should be in the home. If it couldn't be provided in the home, then it should go, Dolores should go to a nursing facility, 24/7 facility. But the fact of the matter is, Joyce made sure that didn't happen. And you can see from the record that there were two people who were helping, and both of those people were forced away. Susan was taken away by the fact that Joyce just said, you can't come anymore. And Jessica Lang was afraid because she had a work comp case, and there were some insinuations made that who's taking care of your work comp case? Maybe we ought to notify them that you're over here doing this sort of thing. So she left. That left Janet alone to take care. For 5 months, she was alone. No effort on the part of Joyce to provide any kind of respite care, anybody to come in to help out. She wasn't doing her job. If anything, she should have been requiring some kind of help, paying for it.
Is there any evidence that Janet asked for that help during those 5 months?
Oh, yes. I think the record is replete with requests. In fact, on the May 14th or whatever date that was, when this all kind of came apart, she was begging in voice messages, begging
what
for help.
What happened before May 14th to indicate Janet's specific request to Joyce for help?
Well, she had, I don't know that I can cite you to the exact location in the record, but I put a lot of facts with cites into my statement of facts. But yes.
What comes to the top of your mind is just an example of one of those requests.
There's a recorded conversation with Janet and Joyce and the other people, and that's when she had help. And I think there was always her impression that she would need help. And I think there was testimony by Bill that indicated that, yes, she had asked for help. In fact, he'd even gone over and asked for help before this occurrence.
Was the help that they were requesting, though, a request for Joyce to come over and help them?
Anything.
Or was it a request for, let us hire somebody to come in and take care of Mom?
I think it was for any help. Any help. If Joyce wanted to come over, didn't want to spend the money, she had $42,000 to spend. And she claimed she had to sell a car because she didn't have enough money to pay, when she hadn't paid really much of anything. But the fact of the matter is, no help came. For 5 months while she was temporary guardian, no help came. And eventually when everything fell apart in May of 2015, she took her to a facility that isn't even a 24/7 care unit. They warn that, in fact, if you come here, if you've fallen before, you can fall again. People here might wander off. We're not taking that kind of care. We're going to monitor you by remote devices in the night. This is basically the same care or less care than she was getting at home. Janet even slept with her mother just to make sure she wouldn't wander around.
Was there expert medical testimony as to the care that she was receiving once they took her to the Hillside or Hillsdale?
High Plains.
High Plains.
Yeah, the High Plains situation. There's some in the order of the court, which I anticipated, but I won't have time to go down through the order of the court. But they mentioned about the 5-pound weight gain, and that was really about it. The lady from High Plains said that wasn't a significant weight gain at all, you know, the situation. There's nothing in the record that shows that she wasn't happy and healthy at home, Joyce didn't want her at home.
But didn't the director of the health services for High Plains testify that their facility specialized in working with people that had Alzheimer's?
I believe she did, but by the same token, Janet had been working for years in California in the same field, giving home care to people suffering from Alzheimer's.
And when she, after the 5 months of trying to take care of her mother, did she go back to California?
The only reason she went back to California...
So she did go back to California?
Well, she did. She's here today. But the thing is that when her mother was placed in the High Plains, she had already pending, Janet did, an injury, a work comp injury that required counseling, it required treatment and everything else in California. And so once her mother had been placed, she said, fine, this is the best thing for mom right now. It's always been what was best for mom, and that was the best thing at that point in time. And so she went back and took care of those issues.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
May it please the court. My name is Joe Lanowski. I represent the appellee, Joyce Plackey, in this matter. And one thing I want to comment on that I feel is important, Mr. Jensen commented that Joyce, or that Janet Plackey, is here today. She's here today, just today. I think it's important to point out that it's just one day. That being said, this appeal raises almost entirely all issues of fact. The lower court, after a four-day trial, after observing the witnesses, concluded that it was appropriate and that it was in Dolores' best interest that Joyce be appointed guardian. This court has stated previously that when in a proceeding for an appointment of a guardian is reviewed on error, it's done so for error on the record. And when reviewing a judgment or errors appearing on the record, the inquiry is whether the decision of the lower court was competent, or it was whether it confirms the law, is supported by competent evidence, and is neither arbitrary, capricious, or not unreasonable. Additionally,
Mr. Lanowski, there is some evidence in the record that's a little troubling. The evidence that your client, Joyce, may have taken some jewelry from the home. There's evidence that she was kind of disinherited. I mean, in terms of what the will was to leave her, it was very, very nominal, where the other siblings were slated to be much more benefited. So it's interesting, and as Mr. Jansen has been talking about, that the evidence that she really didn't participate in providing care during those 5 months when Janet was present. Can you speak to some of those?
I'd be happy to, Your Honor. The jewelry. There's no evidence whatsoever that Joyce took any jewelry. In fact, what her testimony was is that mom would oftentimes play with jewelry. She put it in bags, and that mom would put it in different places. So there was the allegation made against my client that she stole the jewelry. It was never proven. My client was never charged. And in fact, my client came over and said, it's right here. And it was. Their mom suffered from dementia. Joyce knew that because Joyce had been dealing with mom for months, for years. So she knew her habits. She knew what mom did. So when they accused her about stealing the jewelry, Joyce proved them wrong. So it was nothing more than a false allegation. The inheritance. I can't speak for what mom's state of mind was when she did her estate plan. I don't know. She may have hated Joyce at the time that she did her estate plan.
It was, what, 2005 or something like that?
I can't speak to that. Maybe there was a problem at the time. Might also very well be that Susan, the one child, had a history of drug use, was totally supportive on everybody else. She couldn't pay her rent, she couldn't do anything. Janet had been gone for 30 years, couch surfing in California, never had a home. She had jobs, but she had no stability. Joyce and Irina lived right around the corner from mom, owned her home, had a job, was entirely self-supporting. So it may very well be that mom knew Joyce was okay. She didn't need her help anymore. The other two girls, they weren't okay. They needed help. Perhaps mom was just trying to leave them what she had to make sure that they were okay. But Your Honor, truth of the matter is, I don't know. But also, I don't think it makes a difference. The issue isn't who gets what. The issue is who's best suited to take care of mom. And the judge in the lower court, after 4 days of trial, concluded that it was Joyce.
If the court would have found against your client, would you feel the same way?
Well, of course not, Joyce. No, I would have lost.
Because there's certainly evidence to support the sister being appointed.
There is some evidence?
There is evidence to support.
Judge, I think it's very little evidence. I think what the record shows is that Janet, the appellant in this case, has been gone for 30 years. She's been in California. She hasn't held jobs. She hasn't been stable. In the last 5 years, prior to the appointment of the guardianship, of my client's guardian, she'd been back to visit her mom one time, okay? So as much as Mr. Jensen would like to argue about what a great relationship there was, there really wasn't any evidence of that because we don't have any evidence that Janet was ever coming back. Contrary to that, and again, I know there were some problems historically, but perhaps between my client and Dolores, but what the evidence is that preceding the filing of the guardianship for some time, Joyce had been taking care of not only Dolores, but also her brother Bob. And again, I think it's the evidence is that for a while, Bob was taking care of Dolores. But Bob took ill, Bob had cancer, Bob died in December. Leading up to that tragic event, Bob passing away, Joyce was taking care of Bob and was taking care of Mom and was working. So she was juggling many balls at the time. So I don't want to disrespect Janet. Janet did what she could for 5 months, but the reality of it is she wasn't around. She did not have the history and the knowledge and the wherewithal to take care of Mom as a guardian as Joyce did.
Can you speak to Mr. Jansen's assertion that where was Joyce when she was appointed temporary guardian?
Joyce was present, okay? And now, again, I'm not going to, I don't want to convince her or state otherwise that Joyce was as hands-on as Janet. She wasn't. The fact of the matter is Janet wanted Mom to stay at home. Joyce didn't. Joyce wanted her to be in a skilled nursing unit, and in this case, High Plains, which specializes in dementia and patients suffering from Alzheimer's. Joyce wanted that for a mom. The doctors, I think, if I read the records properly, suggested that it is a 24/7 facility, and it specializes in treating those patients with dementia and Alzheimer's. The director of the unit was in to testify, and she stated that they do cognitive exercises to stimulate the cognitive abilities of the residents. So they do things that are good for the resident, as compared to being in a home. And again, leading up to this, Joyce was dealing with that house. And it was a bed bug problem that wouldn't go away. Joyce was dealing with that every day. Joyce was dealing with trying to make sure her mom was safe in the home. Joyce wasn't living there, okay? But Joyce knew that wasn't the best thing for her mom. It was an old home. It was not a home that was suitable for a person suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's as compared to the skilled facility that she has her in now.
There's no evidence that Joyce ever considered bringing in home care, did she?
No, I don't think she did. I don't think there was any compelling evidence. And again, we don't deny the fact that it was always Joyce's preference to put her mom in a better facility. Keep in mind, this was a rundown house suffering from bed bug infestation. Mom wasn't having the interaction. I think there was some evidence that when Janet was taking care of her, her friend Bill, who Janet moved in with her, testified that oftentimes Dolores would sit in a chair and stare out the window. That's how she would occupy her day. I would tell you, Joyce didn't want that for her mom. She wanted her mom to interact with people. She wanted her mom to be cognitively stimulated to make her better, to try to keep her better, to try to keep her mind sharp. Sitting in a chair, aging, doing nothing wasn't going to benefit her. That's not what Joyce wanted. The sisters had a difference of opinion as to what was best for mom. I think, and I think the evidence shows, that Joyce felt and was more in line with what the doctors were recommending, a 24/7 facility.
Wasn't it 24/7 if couldn't be provided at home?
It was, and I think the way this case evolved essentially showed that it couldn't. It was tough, and I don't want to criticize Janet for not being able to do it. Joyce knew that. Again, Joyce had cared for Bob and for Dolores for some time prior to that. She knew what it entailed. Janet didn't. Janet thought she could come in after having been gone for 30 years, not being back and seeing Mom for 5 years, and she could come in and save the day. Joyce knew that. Joyce knew that wasn't appropriate for Mom. So I think that while Joyce did not want to hire someone to come in, she knew that it just wasn't practical, and it wasn't in Mom's best interest.
Counsel, before you run out of time, I'd like to switch gears a little bit and go to the safe deposit box. It's my understanding that the two sisters made a joint stipulation that whoever was appointed as the conservator guardian, both of them would be present when they opened the safety deposit box.
We did, Your Honor.
And the judge did not include that in its order, did it?
It was never.
The stipulation?
The trial was over who should be appointed guardian and conservator. It wasn't what are the terms and conditions of opening of the safety deposit box. Judge, I would submit that that's an issue that is very easily resolved post-appointment, where you file a motion or you deal with it by something as simple as a phone call. Can we go open that safety deposit box? My point is, I don't think that part of this order is an appealable order because it was never addressed. There was never a request to make that.
The stipulation was made, the way I understand it, in open court between the two sisters, and that regardless that your client was appointed as the guardian conservator, that her sister had the right to be present when the safety deposit box was opened. Do you disagree with that?
No, Judge. And you know what? Sitting here today, we still agree to that.
Okay.
We don't oppose that. Okay. We never have. Now, we speak in our brief that it might be difficult now that Janet's living in California. When is she going to come back to open this safety deposit box? Maybe it'll be today. I don't know. But my point is, Judge, we don't oppose that. Joyce never has and never will try to avoid that. In conclusion, I would just submit that I think the lower court's order was appropriate. We would ask that it be affirmed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
Appreciate you both being here today. The matter is deemed submitted, and you are excused. The next matter before the court is Armitage versus Armitage.